We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It is our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival. And we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast. Festival for more details.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, is finally here.
With the first pick in the NFL Draft.
Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit.
They're looking to get a guy that they believe can change the game.
With NFL Network draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Brought to you by Visa. Visa, everywhere you want to be.
Wake that ass up.
Early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building, Gabby C.
Hello. Good morning.
Now, you're from the BPAC, Black Progressive Action Coalition.
Yeah, BPAC and Black PAC. We are a national organization that's devoted to turning out black voters across the country. And we do this not in election years and midterm elections that's happening right now, but every single day, because for black people, our lives and our freedom is always on the ballot. And so that's what we do and who we are.
And early voting, how's it looking right now?
Early voting, almost 29 million Americans have already early voted. So like this lie that we've been hearing that there's an enthusiasm gap, that we're not seeing Democrats or young people or black people come out at the same rate, false. We're seeing them come out at record rates. Mm-hmm. And so it's happening already. We see in battleground states like Pennsylvania, where John Fetterman is on the ballot. He's running for Senate. And Georgia. I know y'all have been talking about Georgia a lot. Y'all Uncle Herschel. These are places where we're seeing Democrats really show up and show out in early vote. So we feel good about that.
Is it difficult to get some of the black voters out because they're feeling like every time they do come out, it feels like politicians don't show up for them?
You know, it's difficult because, one, just the history of black folks in this country, right, make a lot of things difficult. Mm-hmm. But what we have seen throughout history is that the most consequential moments in American history where we have progressed our country forward, black people have been at the center of that. Mm-hmm. Black people have been advocating for that. And so black folks, more than any other group of Americans, know what it means to have your freedom on the ballot, and they know that the power in the vote. And so things are difficult right now. You know, goods are more expensive. Inflation is rising.
We know.
You know.
Gas is expensive.
Food is expensive.
Airlines, trains,
everything is expensive. You know, I'm scared to leave my house.
Yes.
Every time I leave my house, I feel like I spend a rack.
But it's ridiculous.
It is. So I get people being frustrated in this moment. Mm-hmm. But I think we also have to understand that progress, our power is in our vote, and progress is sometimes slow. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't have elected officials that have our values, that understand our issues. When folks ask me that question, and I get that a lot, the things that we should be looking for in elected officials is clarity on our issues. Do they understand what is facing our community, right? Do they understand, are they willing to listen and learn about what's happening? Number two, do they have a plan to execute on this, right?
Mm-hmm. So that's some tangibles. A lot of times people have some talking points, but they have no solutions.
Cool. You know, you have some ideas. That's what elections are about, right? That's what we do in this election. We evaluate people's plans. But then the most important part, and the part that we often forget, is once they are in office, holding them accountable to those plans, making sure that we are showing up and saying, hey, you said you were going to do this in your election. Did you do it? Right. Yeah. People have an opportunity every 2, 4, or 6 years to get people out of office. I wish we had those opportunities in relationships. I wish that if you start dating somebody,
every 2 years,
you're going to be like, hold on, let me evaluate how you're doing.
But you didn't say what you promised. I'm going to have to move on.
Yeah,
and
it's just like, we would be healthier in relationships if that was true. So, like, you know, elections are about making the best choice that you can with the information you have right now. We can't see into the future. We can't predict how people will behave. But what we can look at is history.
I think a lot of times, though, I feel like with these elections, it almost feels like you're forced to pick somebody that you don't necessarily want, right? Mm-hmm. Like even with Joe Biden, a lot of people, you know, didn't necessarily, that wasn't their first choice,
mm-hmm.
but he was the only choice at the time. And it was like, well, I guess I have to, you know what I mean? And I think that happens a lot. I feel like with especially with our culture and our community, blacks and brown, I just feel like a lot of times I feel like we get smacked in the face all the time, right? Mm-hmm. You say, okay, we're going to vote for a black mm-hmm. judge. We vote for the black judge, and then the black judge that looks like us, it feels like he does more hurt than mm-hmm. help. Then mm-hmm. you look at all these other communities, right? You look at Kyrie, and you see, you know, what he said about the Jewish people, and immediately they donated $500,000, and he has to take classes or whatever it may be. But then you look at some of these owners that said some things about black people,
mm-hmm.
and they never had to take no classes. Mm-hmm. They ain't donating no money, mm-hmm. so it feels like it's constantly against us. And it has to be to the point where it's like, why am I voting?
You know,
how does it help?
Yeah.
How does it benefit me or my kids or
family? I just want to say one thing, too, though. I think it's really important to also encourage people who you think would represent you well to run for office.
Absolutely.
Because I think too often people who would be great in those positions aren't even thinking about that. And so we should encourage people who are like, you know what, you would be a great council person, or you would be a great, let's get you on the path to do that. And sometimes that does take financial support.
It does. I mean, that's a real barrier to a lot of folks running for office. Most of the people that are in Congress are millionaires, mm-hmm. right? A lot of them are well off. Get your money, right? But, you know, a lot of folks like to make fun of a person like AOC because she was a bartender before, you know, she became a member of Congress. But I'm okay with that.
She's
right?
One of us.
Yeah.
I'm okay with a person that had to work their way through college, mm-hmm. right? I'm okay with a pipe fitter or a plumber becoming a member of Congress or running for elected office. Yep. My daddy is a pipe fitter and plumber. Mm-hmm. He's a wonderful person.
We have to support those candidates financially, and that's important too.
Yes.
And then even right now, like as we get close to these elections, we see so many ads on TV,
mm-hmm.
and there's so many different things coming. We don't know what's true and what's not, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like in particular in New York, we're looking at Lee Zeldin versus Governor Kathy Hochul.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tell you I see a Lee Zeldin ad like every 5 seconds, everywhere, and the things that he's saying, and then Kathy Hochul was up here also. They both have been up here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times it's dispelling the narratives that are put out there.
Yeah.
But sometimes people just say, I feel like politicians can just say anything.
They say anything.
About mm-hmm. the other person, whether or not it's true. And then it's really up to us to fact check. But sometimes people aren't fact checking.
Yeah, and I think we have to that is yes and no, right? So yes, sometimes politicians say wild things and say things about each other, but we have seen a change in the tenor. Just look at what happened to Speaker Pelosi's husband.
Mm-hmm.
There is a time in politics where an elderly man being attacked in his own home would cause horror across the board, no matter what your political affiliation, no matter who you are. And that did not happen. And mm-hmm. it's very sad. And it's very, very scary. So I think you're right. There are concerted efforts, right? Lee Zeldin is a part of these concerted efforts. Herschel Walker is a part of these concerted efforts to lie to black and brown voters. We have to know that that is happening and they are not on our side. And we have to look at history and we have to assess the facts. And, you know, you don't have to be a political scientist and have a PhD in communications to call out a lie. We call out lies all the time, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
We do that all the time. And so let's not have the horror that people feel when they see politicians just say wild things about each other, mm-hmm. we should feel that, but we should also allow that to inform how we are making those choices. Because that, if that is something that they say out loud in front of you, imagine what they say about you behind your back.
The problem is a lot of people can't fact check. They don't have the time to fact check. But, you know, as a kid, when you seen politicians on TV and they were talking, usually after you would see a wrap up and they would try to fact check. But now with this phone, this phone lies more than anything else in this world. Yeah. You look at something and you think it's true, but it's not true. So you don't know who to follow, where to go to fact check. I mean, Wikipedia, which most people get their information from, is wrong, because I'm a gardener on there and I've never been a gardener.
You can find something to back up anything.
Yes.
You can find something to back up everything. That's why organizations like Black PAC are important, because mm-hmm. we do this kind of deep work to build trust among Black voters. We've mm-hmm. knocked on over 3 million doors in Pennsylvania and Nevada and in mm-hmm. Michigan and Wisconsin and Virginia and North Carolina and Georgia, because we need to do this work. And we're not alone in it. There are tons of national organizations that are doing this work. There are even more local organizations that are doing this work to dispel the myths. And we're here. Mm-hmm. Like, media has an obligation. You all recognize your obligation to the public, and what you're saying is really important. And people look to you for your opinion. So I think what we're doing now, having this conversation, helps to dispel the myths. Listening and finding organizations that you trust that have been on the right side of history consistently. Mm-hmm. If you see an organization that's talking about something you never heard of them, they're saying the wildest things, like, that's a red flag, right? People don't have time to go and fact check everything, but you got your spidey sense, you got your gut, mm-hmm. you got what your grandmother told you at some point. Mm-hmm.
You know,
like,
what?
We have ways to assess if something is real or not.
Okay, so tell me if this is real, mm-hmm. because I've seen that there are statistics that black men are leaving the Democratic Party at a higher rate than anybody else. Is that myth or is that true?
Listen, I have a friend, Maurice Mitchell, who runs the Working Families Party, that says, you know, grass grows where you water it, right? And I think when it comes particularly to black men, there are tons of challenges that we've seen in this election. Mm-hmm. We've seen dis and misinformation allow people to stay home. We've seen that in 2020. What is happening now is people are actually believing it and not just staying home because they don't trust the system, but considering voting for people that they never would have before. A couple of things that we should take away from that. One, we have to continue to do this work that Black PAC and BPAC have been doing and talking to black voters all the time, right? Constantly saying, hey, is Joe Biden doing what you asked him to do? All right, yeah, he is. Because if you look at the data, he has delivered on 90% of the things that he talked about in the campaign, delivering for black folks. So I think we have to really ask those questions. And I also think it's true that this is a time and a volatile time that folks are looking for answers, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes the answers are not right, but it is an answer. And so we have to continue to do the work to let folks know that we have a real choice to make in this election. And voting for someone, again, doesn't mean that you got to be married to them forever. Mm-hmm. You're going to have an opportunity to hold them accountable, and you're going to have an opportunity to choose someone else if we want someone else to run for office. You have a choice in this election, and I think that's the number one thing we have to impress upon people. Don't vote Democratic because we're telling you to, because your grandmother has, mm-hmm. because everybody that you know has. That's not what we're telling you to do. What we're telling you to do is look at people's plans, look at their ability to act on those plans, and look at what they have done for you in the past. Mm-hmm. Right?
You were part of the team that helped Eric Adams become mayor of New York.
Absolutely not. I ran an independent expenditure for Maya Wiley. Now, Eric Adams is my mayor. Mm-hmm. I want him to be successful. I want this black man to be successful. I will always do everything I can. But that's not where I started. Okay. Well,
where did you start? How did you get into this right now? Like, we usually start like that. Like, how did you get
She's
into
like,
this?
No.
I was like, let me.
You serve as a political director at the Influence Labor Union and helped propel Eric Adams to become mayor. But anyway, how did you get started in this?
I don't know.
Brandon.
No.
How did you get started into this? Where are you from, first of all?
So I grew up in the South and in the Midwest. I grew up in Alabama and Ohio. And I actually got involved.
Alabama.
Huntsville.
I'm going to Huntsville November 27th.
I know you are not.
Show.
You're
going
to see some of my cousins. She said, no, you are not.
I'm bringing the car show to the Von Braun Center.
Car show?
My big car show, yes.
Yeah, you'll definitely see my uncles, some of my cousins. I mean, my father has 11 first brothers and sisters, or brothers and sisters, so we got a big family. So you're going to see my cousins. Anyway.
I told him, what's up.
You should. Anyway, no, I got started around 2003, the Iraq War. I was in college, mm-hmm. and my brother went into the Army and was stop loss. I went to the University of Toledo.
Okay.
Go Rockets. And before he was discharged from the military, he had to go fight in the war in Iraq. So I got really involved in the anti-war work and protesting. And this man, John Kerry, was running for president. He was like, I'm going to end the war in Iraq. And, you know, I'm 19-year-old Gabby, like, me and John Kerry going to end the war in Iraq. And I, like, work my little heart out for him. He didn't win. My brother eventually came home. Mm-hmm. You know, Middle East is still in a quagmire. But it really sparked a desire in me. I always had a desire to help people, but I found politics was a way for me to have an impact on a lot of different issues because there isn't one issue I care about. Mm-hmm. I care about them all, and I care about our people. And so that's how I got started. It has continued and worked on all kinds of campaigns and within organizations. 1199 SEIU is the labor union I worked for here in New York City. So that's how I got started, and that's my story. And I think a lot of folks have a similar story, a point that propelled you into action. For me, it was my brother. Mm-hmm. For others, it might be an experience they had in their childhood. It might be them listening to this show, mm-hmm. and they're like, let me go. I've never thought about that. Let me go do that. So there are many, you know, pathways to this kind of work.
So let me ask you this, right? Mm-hmm. When people vote, sometimes if you don't do your research, you might just vote on your party line. Mm-hmm. For you, have you always only voted Democrat? Have you ever voted for a Republican?
You know, I've never voted for a Republican. I haven't had one with whom my values align mm-hmm. with more than the Democrats. Have I voted for Democrats that I think were not my first choice? Absolutely, right? Okay. But for me, when I look at what's important to me, when I look at the legacy of what different elected officials that I think have my values done, they've always been Democratic and maybe a little bit further. Now, would I ever vote for a Republican? Maybe. In this current environment, I don't understand why I would.
Right.
But mm-hmm. I've always voted my values, and that's always aligned.
What do you think
mostly.
About the two-party system? Because we've heard a lot of people criticizing that too.
Mm-hmm. I think the two-party system is what we have here in the United States, and one thing that we shouldn't do, and I encourage folks not to do, is not let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Like, we have a functioning democracy right now as we speak. You mm-hmm. know, a lot of this is on the line in this election. If you care about elections, if you care about this democracy, if you care about institutions being there for our community, like, this is a really critical election for folks to be in. I think that everyone participating in democracy is a good thing, whether you're Republican, Democrat, whether you're a third party like the Working Families Party or the Conservative Party here in New York State. I personally believe that all these things should be a part of our democracy. Mm-hmm. But I'm realistic about the system that we have to operate in right now.
Now, Black Lives Matter, has that helped or hurt your cause and organization? Because it's hard for people to see what the organization is compared to the hashtag, compared to the movement. So I know a lot of times people look at it like, is that organization good or are they just out there for money? So has that helped or hurt what you've been doing?
I mean, first of all, like, our name is Black Pack. So we are here for Black people, however Black people need us to be. I think the Black Lives Matter movement was really consequential for a lot of things. It put a spotlight squarely on things that we live and mm-hmm. deal with every single day. And so I think Black Lives Matter, we really owe it our community as a whole, not just Black or brown folks, but mm-hmm. Americans in this entire world mm-hmm. really owe a debt to that. But you know what? Our work, the work that we have been doing, Black PAC, since 2016, is so consequential, and it continues to be, and it always will be, no matter what movement pops up, whether it's Black Lives Matter, whether we're talking about Me Too. These are all things that collectively strengthen our political awareness, right? Because mm-hmm. Black Lives Matter. I saw some people in 2020 protesting that I would have never thought were out in the streets. So what movements like that do mm-hmm. is raise political consciousness, allow people to see themselves in a different way, and kind of, you know, rising tide lifts all boats. When we have more folks that are actively participating, no matter how they came to it, if they came to political, if they came into political awareness because they went to a Black Lives Matter protest and now they're voting and organizing those communities, that is great. Mm. We've seen that across the board.
What are some things in particular right now that's going on that actually make you angry when you think about what's happening? I want to know what's at the top of your list of the things that you're like, we should all be mad about.
Is Kanye up there?
I mean, no, you know, I'm not giving him any more play.
I know,
okay?
I didn't even mention him today.
Like y'all have talked about that enough. And no, he isn't the thing that worries me. The thing that, you know, really concerns me and should concern us are, you know, the attacks at our institutions. When we talk about our freedom being on the line right now, that's what we really mean. Right now, the Supreme Court Monday heard arguments about dismantling affirmative action. Right.
Yeah.
So let's just play this a little bit. Mm-hmm. So if we dismantle affirmative action, what colleges have told us across the board, whether they are elite universities or state universities, that this is going to decrease access. This is going to decrease diversity. We are going to see less Black and brown folks go to college mm-hmm. if we do this. Supreme Court is like, cool. All right. No problem mm-hmm. to us. So let's pay it forward. That happens. We see less and less Black and brown folks going into universities in the future. Rarely do you see any leader in this country that doesn't have a college degree. Not a member of Congress, rarely. Mm-hmm. Not a CEO of a Fortune 500 company. Not the most influential reporters. You certainly not going to see anyone,
Almost.
Well, you know, usually, listen always, but
Charlamagne,
it's
no, me and you, yes.
Okay. No. Don't beat up on it while you're here. But the point is that, you know, pathways of leadership usually go through higher education, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're attacking this institution. We're making it harder for certain folks to be a part of it. That is worrying to me, because what that means is in 20 years, we're probably going to have a very male and a very pale leaders across this country. Mm-hmm. They might not have the experiences that I have had as a Black woman. That is upsetting to me.
Right.
When we see the Supreme Court say, hey, the Environmental Protection Agency, which is what they did in June, doesn't have the authority anymore to regulate greenhouse and gas emissions, right? Mm-hmm. We are in a climate catastrophe.
Absolutely.
As we speak.
We feel it every day.
70 degrees today. In New York.
In November. November. I was hot.
It's going to be 70 all week.
Right? Mm-hmm. And folks will say, oh, well, the climate changes all the time. No, it does not change in this way. And so institutions like the Supreme Court, which is appointed, the Supreme Court we have right now was largely
overturning Roe
mm-hmm. versus Wade. Like, these are all super consequential decisions that should frighten us. Because while that's happening at the Supreme Court, we have legislatures changing the way our children are educated, changing the curriculum. We are banning books. Like, let's talk about the attacks on democracy right now in Arizona. There are people monitoring ballot drop boxes, mm-hmm. armed, camouflage, taking pictures of people, taking pictures of their license plate, following them home. These are all very scary things. Now, we're telling you this not to scare you out of voting, but to allow you to see that we have power in our vote. We have power in the way that we are educated. If we did not, they would not be working so hard to take that away.
They're scared to death that we're going to go vote. And so they're trying to intimidate everybody.
Absolutely.
I saw the whole thing about the Boogaloo boys.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
It's scary. Mm-hmm. But we have the ability and the power to have an impact. So when people say, why should I vote? What I say is, why are you willingly giving your power away? Why are you telling yourself, I don't deserve to be in this conversation? I don't deserve to have the representation that I need, that our communities need, that my family needs. And so there are lots of things that are pissing me off right now. Mm-hmm. But I think the dismantling of the institutions that have made us this country who it is and have provided folks like me, I'm a generation away from picking cotton. My father picked cotton. My grandfather was a sharecropper and died not knowing how to read.
Wow.
And here I am talking to you all.
Right.
Like,
amazing.
That's the American dream, but that no longer, most people do not have access to that.
Now, InfluenceWatch.com said that BPAC is said to be a dark money group. What is a dark money group?
I don't know what a dark money group is. If a dark money group to you is an organization that mobilizes and turns out black people to vote in record numbers,
then yes,
we're a dark organization. If a dark organization is one that holds elected officials accountable, yes, we'll help you get into office, but we're also going to hold you accountable and we're going to show up, then yes, we're a dark money organization. I think that influence, whatever, I won't even give them a name again, it's targeting people who are building political power and trying to make it these spooky organizations. No. You know what Black PAC does? Tell black people that they're powerful.
Absolutely.
That their vote matters and that they need to turn out to vote.
What about you running for office?
Absolutely not.
He said all that. Yes, we need to get people
absolutely
that look like us
not
and do this. What
so
about you?
Why not? So there are some people that are more behind the scenes people. There are some folks that like really love helping others. That's me. I have worked for elected officials, helped elect a lot of elected officials. That is the role that I play. Y'all don't want me in elected office either, man.
Why?
I would be insufferable. No. I know. It's not for me. Every person has a pathway. I think that's the wonderful thing about elections and about politics. There's a lot of ways for you to have an impact in it. And it isn't just about running for office. Angela, you're 100% right. The people who should run for office are not the people who usually step up, right?
That's what I'm thinking, because it feels like what you need is honesty, people who can mobilize people who know how to get things done, have plans, can put those plans into action.
What about you, Yi?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I could do that job and this job.
Why not?
You're not going to be here much longer. She's leaving.
I don't know what's going on here.
I'm going to have my own show, starting in January.
Congratulations.
And much like Gabby, I feel like my role is to support.
Don't be taking my line.
These officials. We've had Chiyo Say up here. I know you know Chiyo Say.
He's my councilman.
Mine too. Yeah, so we must live in the same area.
Yeah,
mine too. Hakeem Jeffries as well. You know, and so obviously we had Kathy Hochul and Lee Zeldin up here. And so I think, you know, my role is to give a light to some of the, I don't know if I could be on the radio and be running for office. I don't know if that would be
fair. It's up to you. It's your time.
Because, you know, the Fair Time Act, you know, I would have to give whoever's running against me the same amount. How could I not discuss?
I don't know.
You see what happened to Chris Cuomo? No.
So I wanted to ask, how come they donate to your organization if they want to get behind you and maybe don't want to run like you and Angela?
Or join the organization.
Or join or financially support and help.
So you can go to blackpack.com, blackpac.com to learn more about our organization. If you are looking for resources for this election, you want to know where your voting location is, your polling location is, hours, you can go to blackpackvote.com.
And who's on the ballot so that you can go through it before you get there. Like I always say, make sure that you have a plan.
Yep.
Go look it up, see who these people are if you don't know, because sometimes there's people you're like, who are these people? And then you just randomly pick.
Yeah.
But know who you're voting for.
Know who you're voting for and make a plan to vote. We know that when people make a plan to vote, they are much more likely to do so. And so encouraging your listeners to make a plan to vote, whether they want to vote early, they want to vote on election day, how are you getting to your polling location? Again, folks can go to blackpackvote.com to learn more about voting in their state. And to blackpack.com to learn more about our organization and to be able to join and donate. Like I said, our members and our volunteers are texting, calling, knocking on doors every single day. We have never left in some states like Pennsylvania and Michigan. We never stop talking to black folks. And we're an organization that will talk to any, like, there is no qualification. You don't have to have voted in X elections or supported X candidates. If you are black, we believe in your innate power to change our country because we've done it many, many times before.
How does that feel, someone coming to your door unannounced? We had a whole conversation
about
that
canvassing.
The other day.
Yeah.
See, I'm
it's hard. Because how many
kid,
people,
Jehovah
I don't.
Witness used to come over.
I don't never go to the door if I'm not expecting someone.
Yeah, I don't. Would never answer the door.
You have to send people in like a UPS outfit. Like,
no, you know, actually people are nicer than you think.
In Brooklyn?
Everywhere. Okay. You'd be surprised. I get a warmer reception. If someone was like, go knock on doors in Canarsie or go knock on doors in Long Island, I would choose Canarsie every single day of the week because people are lovely here.
Yeah, Long Island.
You know, nothing against Long Island. I'm
are
not
we
trying
allowed to
do
give
that.
Out coffee now while people are? I know they was trying
it
to.
It depends state to state. Okay. States have the ability to control elections, which is why secretary of states are so important mm-hmm. in most places, because they control elections. And if you have a secretary of state that believes that Donald Trump won the presidential election and will do anything to make sure that he wins again in 2024, that's a bit of a red flag, right? Correct. Let's not support those people that believe that elections should only be recognized if your particular candidate wins.
Yes.
And so those rules about, you know, what happens in line, can you give somebody that is cold a blanket? In some places, you cannot.
How that even happened. I just don't.
Sense. Well, because you want to know how that happens? Because too many black folks are turning out to vote in record numbers and early. Mm-hmm. So the first folks tried to restrict, you know, you have to have certain type of IDs. Then they tried to restrict hours. Oh, you can only go up these certain hours. And black folks were like, you can do all those things. I am still voting. And they still voted. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, okay, well, now that you have long lines, now that you can only vote at certain times of day, you're going to have to wait in this 8-hour line and you get no food unless you bring it yourself. No one can help you. And so, like, these are
restrictive.
And intentional, yeah, and absolutely. Planned. These, like, people should be upset that there are elected officials, almost entirely whom are Republicans right now, that are trying to find ways to take away your right. They take away our right to bodily autonomy, you know, with the Roe decision, mm-hmm. taking away our right to breathe clean air with the EPA decision, taking away rights here and there. If you're okay with those things being taken from you, by all means.
Are you hopeful that since you brought up Donald Trump that he'll be accountable for January 6th or any of the things that he's done?
You know, I try not to say anything about Donald Trump and what will or will not happen to him, because he is a private citizen that has little control over my life right now.
Absolutely.
Right? And so I don't really try to give him the time and space in my mind. What I will say is that, you know, Donald Trump is just one of the indications of what folks who do not want us to have power have been up to for decades. It didn't start with Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. It didn't start with Sarah Palin. It started a long time ago, you know, preparing for this moment. Right now, we are living the wildest dreams of people who have tried to keep us oppressed mm-hmm. ever since we landed here in 1619 for black folks, is what I'm talking about. So, I'm not, you know, whether he's held accountable has nothing to do with
me. Because imagine him being able to run again after all of that.
You know, the Constitution allows him to do that. I can't stop anybody.
I'm saying even if he gets convicted of something, mm-hmm. then maybe not.
Maybe right? not. But I think that what he has shown is he has no regard for laws, for the Constitution, for things that we have always done in this country, like recognize elections. He has no regard for that. So I'm not.
Other countries think of us when they look at our whole everything that's going on here.
They got their problems too.
Yeah, but you know, when we travel other places, people be like, "Y'all are crazy."
Well, we appreciate you, Gabby, for joining us.
Thank you for having me
so much.
It's been a pleasure.
Senior advisor to BPAC, Black Progressive Action Coalition. Thank you.
And once again, one more time, website so people.
Website
can
is blackpack.com. BLACKPAC.com, blackpack.com. Thanks so much.
All right, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It is our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival. And we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast. Festival for more details.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, is finally here.
With the first pick in the NFL Draft.
Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit.
They're looking to get a guy that they believe can change the game.
With NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL+. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information.